Well, the day has finally come. Today, March 20th, was the launch of Assassin's Creed Shadows. And this is something that we have been talking about on this podcast basically since its inception. And I believe that this might actually be the gaming story of the last 5 years. And boy, there's a lot to get into. So right now, we're going to break this down bit by bit, detail by detail, because it really is that important.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Right Click. As always, Birdman here, and like I mentioned in the intro, this is going to be all about Assassin's Creed Shadows, because somehow, some way, they actually launched it in a state that was worse than what I expected. I didn't know that was possible. We're actually going to be shifting back to a little bit of the older format, because I have a lot of things that I want to break down. I'm going to be pulling up on my computer here. I got to tell you, it's just too important. Some of this is just too important. And I said something that's kind of big in the intro. I believe this might be one of the most important gaming stories in the last 5 years. It might be even bigger than that. We've talked about ad nauseum. How big of a deal Assassin's Creed as an IP has been to the gaming industry. How big of a deal Ubisoft has been to the gaming industry. They have done things that we have talked about in the pre-release information that's come out that we were just stunned by. And I'm going to give you a quick refresher. One of the things is the lead writer is a complete DEI hire and has been, it's been a public thing that that's the case. Keep in mind her Japanese history knowledge, which is what this game is about, feudal Japan. It's her Japanese knowledge, historical knowledge was about, prepare yourself, sexual identification and what was the terminology? Preferences in feudal Japan. Complete nonsense. And this is a good time to tell you, I'm going to be very honest with you. Moving forward throughout this episode, there's going to be some more adult theming. And it's not that I want to. It's literally a testament to just how much garbage they shoved into this game. I'm just going to go ahead and give you that warning. Carrying on with what we talked about in the past, obviously the lead writer, she has no idea what she's talking about. They've had several things like the Japanese Tory Gate. We talked about that in detail. The Japanese Tory Gate that was destroyed in World War II, that was left standing. It was a symbolism of them still standing after the war. Numerous things like that. There's been a lot of things like that. One of the other big things was that for the first time in history, for whatever reason, they chose to make this game the first Assassin's Creed where you can just destroy temples and sacred places and religions. Now, this is an important detail because I believe I've discussed before, Assassin's Creed games in the past are all centered around a true historical setting with a fictional storyline on top of it, with fictional characters and some historical characters mixed in. It's always honored the source material or the real world material, the real world history. But in this, you can destroy the sacred stuff to this culture. Now, to give an example, in the past, they have talked about, let's say Assassin's Creed Origins. That was all about Egyptian mythology and ancient Egypt. I mean, Lord, how many things can I go through here? I've got so many resources. Previously, we've talked about things like, ancient Greece. Ancient Greece was a big one. Ancient Greece, they actually did all of that with the sole intent of it having an honor to the culture. Now, are they going to sit here and say, oh, this is what it used to be. No, and that's not the point. It has nothing to do with the gods and goddesses. It has to do with the culture and then a fictional storyline laid over top. One of my favorites was Assassin's Creed 3, and I'll leave this little example. I'll leave the examples here. Assassin's Creed 3 was in the 1770s range, and it was all like... It was in that time period where you meet Ben Franklin, you meet founding fathers, and it was incredibly interesting, and it didn't spit on the history of America or the foundations thereof. So it's important to distinguish the fact that in this game, for whatever godforsaken reason, they chose to take the Japanese culture and spit on it in Torii Gate and being able to destroy their sacred temples and stuff, which in this game are real world locations. Another big one was the fact that they got the seasons wrong. Things were it said it was in one season, the wrong things were growing. This is basic stuff if you're here to historically represent a culture. And this is where we start to transfer to what I have here. And this segues into this. So I'm just going to go ahead and show you this. Again, this is we're getting into some more adult theming here. This is a very crass way of putting it, but it is true. Yasuke, the main character, he was a real person. He was a slave. He was a black man. He is the guy who you can barrel through and destroy temples by running them down, running through walls. They now created this character to warp history. And yes, you can argue that it's a game. That's not the point. If you believe that's the point, you are in the wrong frame of mind, because this has always been about historical representation and honoring the history behind this. He, in this game, has intimate moments with Oichi, the sister of his captor. This is important because 18 descendants, emperors, are descendants of her. He did not sleep with her. This is known history. They actively went out of their way to make this game a transition of history where they said, okay, it's all about an inclusive black samurai. Just so we're on the same page, that is unbelievable. Because you got to understand, let's take this and say, okay, take a founding father and say they put some diversity character in Assassin's Creed 3 and made that character sleep with one of the founding fathers, and it completely it's a complete twisting of reality of what actually happened and the descendants that came from them. That's disgusting. That is the antithesis of what Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft has always stood for in these games. Okay, just so we're on the same page, they have, the Japanese culture, the Japanese citizens have every single right to be upset by this. And we're going to talk about that. This may end up being a longer episode. It's that important. But because of this, and they knew what they were doing, they knew full well what they were doing by doing this inclusivity-focused narrative that had nothing to do with history, but they were marketing it as history. It got so far as one of the developers said, and I'm going to read this off, that the discourse has mentally affected the developers so much to the point where some of them are struggling with depression and relying on psychologists. I get that it's easy to laugh at Ubisoft because of the slop they've put out recently, but seeing actual regular devs and employees who are just following orders go through this is messed up, and it's not just Ubisoft, it goes for all studios. Of course, the usual people in the replies and grifters are celebrating and mocking this, which is about expected of them, yada, 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 yada. This is no real surprise here. They really are a glass generation. My generation is really a glass generation. And it's sad, too, because they are known for true passionate development, something we've talked about, or at least at one time. And it's just sad. Because I'm going through this because I have so many examples. Let's start with this one. You can see some videos down here. I'm just going to read this off to you. Assassin's Creed, disrespecting Japan's culture in the name of diversity. Ubisoft's latest installment, and this is from Mario Knuffle. Ubisoft's latest installment has managed to offend an entire nation. With Japan's Prime Minister Ishiba personally condemning the game for showing a character destroying a real Shinto shrine. And this is important. This is what I was talking about earlier. These are real places that genuinely do exist. In their desperate race to be inclusive with a black samurai protagonist, they've ironically created a game that's so culturally tone-deaf that Japan's government is discussing official responses. And again, we'll get into this. Even Ubisoft knows they've crossed the line, instructing developers to hide their employment status to avoid backlash. When a video game requires diplomatic intervention, perhaps quote-unquote diversity isn't worth sacrificing cultural respect. And that's what it's about, cultural respect. And this is important because many games nowadays launch with a day one patch. Basically, when a final release is pushed out, it hits a pre-release market, typically content creators, reviewers, stuff like that, and they go in knowing, hey, there might be some rough edges that need to be polished, but your guys are going to help us polish it. The day one patch that came out today didn't include your normal bug fixes or performance improvements. What it included was the removal of your character being able to destroy shrines and religious sites. Let that sink in for a second, because that's a really big deal. But did they care? No, because here's where we're at. Yasuke has a gay romance early on in Shadows with a character named Ibuki, who identifies themselves as a non-binary they-them. And after flirting, they kiss each other. And again, very adult theming, because this is some posts from... this is a post on Twitter. These are important because these are people's actual connections with the game. But it goes further than that. I talked about Assassin's Creed Odyssey recently. Assassin's Creed Odyssey gave you the option of picking at the very beginning of the game, playing it as a character named Alexios or playing it by a character named Cassandra. Now, canonically, they wrote the story and the surrounding stories of the game where canonically Cassandra, the female character, is the main protagonist. She fits into other games where they mesh things in to tie storylines in. Okay. The speculation is that because Assassin's Creed Odyssey, 2/3 of the player base chose Alexios, who was a better character, there are sources at Ubisoft claiming that they made Naoi, the other character, the other main protagonist in the game, it's Yasuke and Naoi, who's a female assassin. They made her female on purpose because the devs internally were angry that people kept choosing the male option despite pushing the female option as the quote-unquote canon choice. That's insanity. That's actual, honest-to-God insanity. And Grums, who's a very popular very popular video game reviewer. Why did Assassin's Creed feel compelled to include a gay, black, Nobunga sister, and non-binary main character in feudal Japan? How does any of this fit the purpose of the game or story? And this is a huge, huge deal, because my lord, if the whole point is to make a historical representation and historical accuracy and XYZ, you genuinely went out of your way to just not do that. Straight up, just not do that. Okay, so we're on the same page. That's disrespectful to an entire culture, and that's a problem. And this is where we get into the big ticket item, because I'd like to read this off, because this is from a Japanese account. these next several are going to be from Japanese accounts or discussing the breakdown of what's happening on the cultural side of Japan insofar as the government getting involved. And amazingly, I can't believe I'm saying this. I downright almost agree, because I would be furious if somebody came and spat on the culture of America in the name of garbage. Let's read. Ubisoft's portrayal of Yasuke as a quote-unquote samurai is being promoted as if it were historically factual. It's what we've talked about. Leading to edits on foreign language Wikipedia pages and the spread of misinformation that Japan was actively involved in the slave trade. This is hugely important, because this is actually happening. People are taking what's in this game as legitimate historical fact and going and altering pages like Wikipedia to reference this as, well, this is a teaching tool. And at one point, and we've discussed this, Assassin's Creed could have legitimately been used as a teaching tool, because it was done alongside historians, cartographers, archaeologists, etc. Continuing, a book even emerged creating a fictional legend of a black samurai, further fueling those inaccuracies. In the second image, which is an excerpt about Assassin's Creed Shadows from Ubisoft Quebec, the main development group, the developers claim they conducted thorough research, consulted historians, and immersed themselves in Japanese culture. Yet their cinematic trailer shows glaring mistakes, such as incorrectly shaped tatami and some samurai depicted sitting in Caesar, which would be highly unusual, contradicting their supposed commitment to historical authenticity. We discussed the tatami mats at one point, too. Some may dismiss these issues as harmless since it's quote-unquote just a game. But in reality, these errors have already influenced public perception. Wikipedia entries have been altered and new publications are reinforcing false narratives, creating potential long-term misunderstandings about Japanese history. Consequently, more than 100,000 people have signed a petition demanding the game's cancellation, fearing it will mislead generations. We are at the point in existence where video games can perpetuate so much to a culture and to ideology that we're risking whitewashing legitimate history. That's unbelievable. It's unacceptable. And here's the excerpt from Ubisoft Quebec. Went to great lengths consulting source documentation and building a network of expert historians, professors, and cultural consultants to help the team build a world as authentically as possible. From castle construction principles to tea ceremonies to tatami alignment, the team made trips to Japan to help them properly grasp the landscape and the culture, and more importantly, connect with Ubisoft Tokyo's and Osaka teams, who helped with the creation of the game. Understand that those Ubisoft teams in Japan were not the lead developers for this. The Quebec group, the one who was known for being the diversity pusher, etc., they're the ones who led this effort. That's unbelievable. And here's where we get into Japan's governmental discussions. Here's a summary from the same group. A summary of the parliamentary discussion on Assassin's Creed Shadows. Hiroyuki Kada reviewed early gameplay footage of Assassin's Creed Shadows and raised concerns about the following: a shrine altar being destroyed in the game, a shrine from his home district appearing without permission to use its name. In response, Vice Minister of Economy, Trade, and Industry, Oguchi, stated that unauthorized use of real-world locations is unacceptable. Kada then pointed out the risk of the game encouraging real-world vandalism, noting that some tourists have climbed shrine torii gates and committed graffiti. This kind of cultural disrespect is unacceptable. Prime Minister Ishiba responded, "Graffiti on shrines is absolutely unacceptable. Japan will simply remain silent on such issues. Showing respect for local cultures should be common sense." And this is where in their parliament they are talking about this. This is a 7+ minute video where they address at the National Diet of Japan the full conversation. This is a huge deal. Now, we can make the argument that okay, using real world things without permission, I find that to be an odd response. I don't understand how that would be even a thing. If somebody wants to go shoot a video in front of the Statue of Liberty, I don't see how that would be, quote unquote, an unauthorized use of real world locations. And what would make that unacceptable? I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. But when we circle back around to the fact that tourists, because of this game, are climbing and graffitiing Tory gates and shrines, that is cultural disrespect, and that is unacceptable. There's no way that you can slice that where that's acceptable. It just isn't. It doesn't matter what culture it is. It doesn't matter how much I agree with you or disagree with you. It doesn't matter. Graffitiing religious shrines and churches, and that is ridiculous. It's blatant disrespect for an entire culture. And he's right. Showing respect should be common sense. I don't understand this. And then they just keep shoving their foot in their mouth. I have numerous things here, and I don't even know that it's worth really deep diving. And I'm not going to sit here and watch this, but this is the Naoi character. And they sit there and have the world's most awkward conversation, and it turns into a lesbian scene where they go and romp about on a beach. And the wildest part is, one, the voice acting in this game across the board is horrific. Genuinely, poorly constructed talent acquisition. But these characters, they look to be the same model, like the same character model. And this isn't a shot at Asian cultures. They get a lot of hate for that, for no reason, being hard to distinguish. That's garbage. This genuinely looks like the same character model. I don't understand that. I'm sorry. I'm struggling with this a little bit, because this is just, you have two protagonists and they both force their way into having homosexual relations in feudal Japan and make a statement about their non-binary sexual identity and must go by they/them. You understand that this is not about sexual identity or gender, making a claim on your gender. This is true to form gender ideology. You mix gender ideology as a social platform into a video game that you're then basing historical accuracy off of, and it's so historically inaccurate that the nation, the country, the home nation is having to use their government to speak out against this, because they're seeing actual backlash of graffiti, of people destroying shrines, destroying religious environments. A deeply religious country, Japan. They're having to take these steps because they have people outside of their own group, their own culture, that are whitewashing and changing history for them. Lord, we have enough problems here in the States with people whitewashing history. But imagine if it was a group that was literally outside, nations, countries away, thousands of miles away, and they're changing your history for you and then going and defiling it. This is a big, big deal. And I think this is why this is one of the biggest deals in dang near the last decade of gaming, because I have never seen something be such an international event. And with respect, this is an event. This is a massive, unacceptable deal. This is not what gaming is about. If you want to honor history, but don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. Now, sorry, the old Southern's coming out, but like, that is unacceptable. This is not what gaming was meant to be. Gaming has brought me friends, has brought me a lifestyle, has brought me a career, has brought me memories that I will never, ever forget. I've got more over there. One day I'll show it to you. It's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. We are not... This is not what gaming was ever meant to be about. Ever, 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 ever. But here's where we are. Go look into this, because this is the deep dive of the really heavy stuff, but there's more to it. And we've talked about a lot in the past, but there's more to it. And it's so sad to see. This is never what gaming was meant to be. Never. And I can sit here and rant for a long time, and I'm trying to reserve myself because it's not important for me, you to listen to me just complain. You've seen it now. You've seen the big ticket items that they're doing, the way that their government is getting involved. Understand where we're at in gaming. Understand that it doesn't matter what age group you come from. It doesn't matter what generation you come from, what ideology you come from. Understand that this is being used as a tool. The video game industry is being used as a tool in the same way the movie industry, whatever. Pop culture has shifted to utilize mediums like this to affect everybody. There was a time where your mom would say, oh, that game's going to rot your brain. And it's because you'd sit there and veg out in front of it for 8 hours. I'm lucky enough to come from a very niche group of, I would sit in front of it for 8 hours, but I was competing. I could go and take it somewhere. I could go to lands. I could make money off of it. And I do owe this industry to my current career. But now it's being used to twist minds across generations for an ideology, and now we're sweeping through nations and governments are getting involved. We have reached a new echelon, and that is terrifying. And this is why I always say it is up to us. Vote with your dollar. I'm very curious to see where this goes, because right now it's just too early to tell where this game is selling. It's just too early. It's release day. We really won't know any legitimate first day metrics until tomorrow morning. And really, because today's Thursday, people may take off Friday, so you'll have a spike. But Saturday and the weekend is really going to be a big indicator. But these next 12 hours are going to really indicate how big the launch was. And I'm hoping that people saw this stuff. I'm hoping here at Right Side, enough people saw where we can have an impact for people to understand what they think they were buying, what they really got. And this is why I say, here at Right Side, we're doing things differently because people need to know about all the different industries, video games, pop culture, sports, controversial moms kicking butt on the school front, like Jared Hudson. Dude, know your rights. The Right Side Media company is doing things that Daily Wire wish it was doing. Other companies, Crowder, wishes they were doing. Because we touch everything across all industries. This is the stuff that needs to be spread far and wide, and nobody's doing it like us. And I hope that these kind of things really show you where we're at culturally and where we need to go and how we need to fix them. That's what we do best here at Right Side. So with that, I'm going to leave it. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. By now, my new article will be out, and we'll be talking about this kind of stuff. It will be more follow-up for those who prefer to read about this, because this is too big of a topic to not discuss. And for now, I'm going to leave it at that. Like I said, go check us out at rightsidemedia.org. You can find all our new stuff. We got other stuff coming down the pipe. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited. We got some cool collabs and things like that coming. Go make a difference. It's so important because we can do that. We genuinely can do that. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you always, as always, for watching. I enjoy doing this like you would not believe. Go check us out on all the other stuff. But as always, my name is Birdman. I have loved talking to you guys. Come back next week. We'll talk about some more pop culture, some more gaming, some more good stuff. Thank you for watching. Have a wonderful day.